family. Special shout out to people in the parking lot and you that are watching at home. Welcome. We are so glad that you are here. If this is your first time with us, extra special welcome. And we encourage you, if you're here today to see somebody in a blue shirt, we would love to connect you further. If you're online, would you please push the I'm new button? And we would love to contact you and just make sure we can answer any questions that you have. And something that was really put on my heart this morning is, of course, I brought a prop. You belong here. Whether you are at home, whether you are here in the parking lot, you are loved radically by Jesus. And we are just, again, so glad that we can gather. And I wanted to do a special shout out to Janice and Napomo that's watching us online, that sends an encouragement email every Sunday morning. And Jack, greeter extraordinaire, that calls so many every Sunday morning at 8:30. So we love you guys. And I don't know about you and your week, but it was another really weird one, huh? So let's take a moment and shake off everything that we came in with, and let's get prepared to worship our King.
Well, one of the nice things about being outside is we can sing. So we would love to hear you this morning. And just thanks to Zach and Nick and Curtis and everyone else who helped get all this stuff ready outside. It's a joy and a blessing to be able to worship together in this way, and to know that what unites us isn't whether we're in a building or in a parking lot or in our homes, but it's Jesus Christ himself. So let's worship together.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. It looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. 'Cause failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. If failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
See, arrival's not the end game.
Arrival's not the end game. The journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. 'Cause failure's never final when the Father's in the room.
Let's hear it, church.
'Cause failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
If you're here this morning and you need Jesus desperately, I've got good news for you, because when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Amen?
The prodigals come home. The helpless find hope. The love is on the move when the Father's in the room. The prison doors fling wide. The dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. And miracles take place, the cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. 'Cause Jericho walls are quaking, world's now shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Said love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Here, church. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. So I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody, and I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me.
All right, let's sing, church.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah, and I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I feel you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing. So I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder. hallelujah. Give him some praise. And I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. And I raise a hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to sing and trust in the middle of the mystery. And it's the thing we're called to as the church and as Jesus followers. To speak words of hope, even when it might not make sense, because we know that he's good. Amen. And one of the things that I've been, convicted over lately is just, and maybe you felt it too, and maybe those of you watching at home have felt this, that you know, you just have hopeless feelings sometimes. And I think so often I'm realizing, oh, it's because I put my hope in the wrong thing. And so I've just been just really trying to find my first love again, you know, and just spending time with Jesus and letting him be the source of my joy and my hope. And so we just wanted to sing this song called Simple Gospel, just as a reminder that we want to lay down our religion, and we want to lay down anything that doesn't give us hope, and we want to focus on Jesus. So let's just spend a few minutes focusing on Jesus. In this time, if there's anything you need to repent of that you've put in front of him, let's just do that now, and let's just return to our first love.
I wanna know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I wanna know you, Lord. I wanna know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I wanna know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion, and I'm laying down. I wanna know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion, and I'm laying down. I wanna know you, Lord. I wanna know you, Lord. Used to think, and I used to think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. And I used to think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord.
You know, if you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, or you didn't measure up, or you felt ashamed by the things even in this season that you can or can't do, I want to tell you that you are enough, because you are made in the image of a God who loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins. He wants relationship with you. He wants to build you up. He wants to use you in ways you can't even understand. So if this is the way you felt, know that you're in good hands.
Because Lord, I've been told to be ashamed. Lord, I've been told I don't measure up. Lord, I've been told I'm not good enough. But you're here with me. I reach out and you find me in dust. You say no amount of untruths can separate us. Let's sing that again. I reach out. I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of untruths can separate us. So I will rejoice. So I will rejoice in the simple gospel, and I will rejoice in you, Lord. And I will rejoice in the simple gospel. I will rejoice in you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down, I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
So, Lord, we can be inside or outside. We can be at home. We can be online. And it doesn't matter, because you're with us, Jesus. You have always been our source of power and strength. So Jesus, would you again this morning just bring new life to your church? We recognize that you're doing something in this moment, Lord, and we don't want to miss it. We want to partner with you. So just, Lord, let us, give us strength to lay down the things that are keeping us from you, to lay down the things that we're putting above you, that we would rejoice in the simple gospel, that you came to earth as a fulfillment of prophecy. You lived and died and rose again so that we might have life. So Jesus, we return again and we say that we love you. We thank you for what you're doing, even in this parking lot and even in the homes of those watching online. We love you. We pray in your name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You can be seated.
Oh, thank you, God. Let's give him some more praise. That was, what an incredible way to start today. So we just wanted to thank you all for your encouragement, the way that you pivot with us as we keep pivoting, and also just for, wow, that caught me, sorry. We just thank you for your generosity and the way that you continue just to partner with us so that we are able just to continue to love on our community and the world and also our pantry. And it has just been such a blessing as the pantry has opened their doors and people get to come in and choose which foods that they want to choose. And there's just something so powerful in that. And I have heard from the pantry that they, the items that they would love to have this week, they are running really short on milk, eggs, and meat. So if you're able to, if you're going shopping this week, if you're able to pick that up, that would be great. You can drop that off at the pantry on any of our open times. And I just really feel on my heart today that we know times are really hard. And if you need some extra food, this pantry is for you as well. And please look up the times. I know we're open Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and come to the pantry. And I know that there's been a lot of closing. It seems like every time we turn around, something is canceled. But I have really good news that we are having GLS and Global Leadership Summit. Sorry, say that three times fast. But that is just such a great way. Have any of you at home or here participated in GLS and know that there's just incredible speakers and opportunities? And I shared last week that Bob Goff was the speaker at the very first GLS I watched, and how so many times his quotes of throwing confetti around like kindness have come during this time. And so I encourage you, the Global Leadership Summit is August 6th and 7th. And we are still considered a host church, which is great. So we get a discount rate. And you have to register before July 21st. We have a code here on the patio online. You should have received that in an email, or please contact the front office and we will get that to you. So put that on your calendar. And would you right now just join me in prayer as we welcome Pastor David up? Oh, God, we just thank you for today. And God, I am so thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that we can count on that. And we just love you, Lord, and we just ask in this time that you just give an extra special blessing to Pastor David as he brings your word and your message. Again, Lord, we just give you today, and let us just be your hands and feet, God. We love you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Man, it's so good to be together. It's so good to just move from the scattered community to the gathered community. I want to thank you for those that are gathering here in our parking lot. Thank you for those that are gathering online. I pray that you have already begun to encounter the God of the universe. How cool is that? That we get to encounter the God of the universe, that he invites us into his presence, that he invites us into his throne room, that we get to worship, that we get to praise him, that we get to lift up his name. Before we jump into today's text, I want to let you know about some really cool things that God has been stirring in our hearts here at New Life. The first one is that most of you, if you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, and you know your kids maybe are in the Lucia Mar district, you know that, or whatever district they are in, that it's a challenging season, right? You're looking to do distant learning again, and parents are saying, not again. Like, you know, I know it's going to be challenging, but there's also some individuals within our district who, when they hear distant learning, they do not have the resources for the laptop that they're going to need, for the hotspot that they're going to need in order to log on. And so we, as a partner with Lucia Mar and kind of a major focus for us in ministry here at New Life, we reached out to Wendy Bruce, our contact there, and said, how can we help? And she said, one of the ways that we can help is by purchasing some laptops and hotspots for some of these students. And so we just made the decision that we are going to be a part of that solution for the Lucia Mar district. And I want to let you know that this is kind of how we operate. God told me from the beginning of this particular season, you know, now we're like 19 or so weeks into this quarantine season, but he told me from the beginning, do not operate in scarcity, operate in generosity. And so that's how we are going to continue to operate. We're going to look for needs within our community and try to meet those needs. And through your generosity, we have been able to do that. And so some people have asked me, hey, are we going to have like a campaign or something like that for Lucia Mar for these laptops? We're not. We're just using what is already coming in, and we are going to distribute that. And one of the reasons is because if I started a campaign today, to be quite honest, in 2 weeks, the need might shift from laptops to something else. And so we just encourage you to continue to, if you're able to be generous. And we will continue as your church and as leaders here to look for opportunities in the community to meet those needs through our pantry, through our partnership with the CMR. And so we thank you for your generosity. The second thing that we're going to be doing, and I don't have all the details yet. We're working on them. We've got about 3 weeks before school starts. But we know that it can be difficult. I tapped out of math about fifth grade. So once my kids were past fifth grade, I'm no help to them. And I know there's some parents that are probably out there that feel just like I do. And so we are working on some tutoring sessions, encouragement sessions, where we will have kids socially distanced, probably outside is what we're looking at. And we want to be able to help come alongside families and provide some of those resources that they will need. And so we're looking for people who might be interested, who maybe have a background in math or science or Spanish or any number of languages. Maybe you're an older student, you're a high schooler, a junior, a senior, and you are able to maybe do peer-to-peer help as well. We're working on developing that. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, I would encourage you just to reach out to us and let us know that you want to be a part of that. Come stop by, see me after service, see Joanna after service. Email us, let us know that you are interested in being a part of that, because I know that God's going to use that time not only to help students academically, but to be quite honest, during this season, our students and our kids need encouragement. During the season, they need prayer. They need to be inspired. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they're not in this alone, but we're in this together. And so just want to encourage you to be a part of that new ministry. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of Acts. We've been preaching through the book of Acts all summer long, and we're going to be in chapter 4. I will try not to pull too many squirrels along the way because I do have cars driving by. If you're watching us online and see me look over here, it's because sometimes I'm easily distracted. And so just know that along the way. We're all learning this. It's all a little bit new. We're going to be at the end of Acts chapter 4 here in a moment. So again, whether through your Bible or whether your YouVersion app, you can open up Acts chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 23 here in a moment. And as I was thinking about and reading through this text and studying it and thinking about where God was leading through this particular text, I was reminded that we're all of us find ourselves probably at a little bit of a tipping point. I was thinking about it when I was young, I played that game Jenga. I thought about bringing it out here, and then I was like, man, if the wind blows or anything happens, it will just tip right over. But I think for many of us, we find ourselves in a similar season of life as that game Jenga, and we feel like every new thing that happens in our life is removing one other piece from our stability. Every single new order that comes down, every new thing that we have to pivot towards, every new thing or the loss of hours or a cut in wage or any number of things, every new health thing, every new challenge that happens when it comes to parenting and marriage and anything else. And so you found, you know, it's one thing to deal with attack on one area of your life. Like if you have attack in your finances or if you have attack in your relationships, man, you can usually manage that pretty well and don't feel really overwhelmed. But when you begin to stack upon those things, financial attack and employment attack and health attack and community attack and all these different things on top of each other, you feel like your foundation begins to be taken away and you're like, man, when will come the moment when my foundation cannot stand any longer? I mean, maybe you're like me and you're looking at, you know, August coming and you're like, okay, level 8 of Jumanji, right? Like we're getting ready. What's going to open up and how, what's going to kind of come against us in this particular moment? Because it feels like every time we come to a new week or a new season, there's something else that just doesn't seem right. And one of the things that I know about those seasons of attack is that the enemy uses those to try to get a foothold of division in our lives. A foothold of doubt in our lives. Now, if you've never thought about this idea of a foothold, I just want to give you a little bit of a framework, because when we give the enemy a foothold into our lives, it doesn't sound like it's a whole lot, but it ends up growing over time. When I was young, I used to play with my sisters. I have two sisters, and we would run around the house, and eventually games usually turned into fights. I don't know about your siblings, but games usually turned into fights. And so what started out as chasing for fun ended up being chased out of fear of my life. And so my sister would chase me around the household, and I'd run upstairs, and I'd go into my room, and I'd slam the door. Now, here's the key. If I was able to shut the door and then sit down next to the door, there is no way she was pushing that door open. But if she just got her foot in the crack of that door before it slammed, she would be able to wiggle her way in and open up that door. There was like nothing I could do to keep it from the door opening more and more and more. And the enemy works in a similar way, that the enemy doesn't need you to swing the door wide open. He just needs a foothold in your life in order to continue to open that and wreak havoc. And it really comes in a couple of ways. The enemy gets a foothold in our life, and when he does, he creates division, right? He begins to create divisiveness and division within the body, and he begins to create division within family units, and he begins to open that up, and all of a sudden, the attacks feel even that much more weighty because of that division. He begins to plant doubt, right? Not like sometimes huge doubt, just enough doubt that he can grow that over time. And ultimately, he wants to cause destruction. I always remind people that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Not to make us uncomfortable, but to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when we feel like we're coming under attack, when we feel like that we find ourselves in a place where, it's just battling all sides. Spiritually, we feel like we're battling. Relationally, we feel like we're battling. Physically, we feel like we are battling. How will we respond to that particular attack? How will we respond as the people of God? And I think in Acts chapter 4, at the end, we get an understanding of how the early church responded to attack and persecution. We get an understanding of how they began to wrestle with this idea. And the early church responded to persecution, and it's not rocket science, and if you've been following Jesus for a while, this isn't going to be surprising. The early church responded to persecution by praying. They responded to persecution by praying. A church that does not pray is a church that is powerless. And a church that understands the power of that God, how God uses prayer and the power of prayer begins to bind together. And the challenge for us is that many times when we think of prayer, we think of isolation and prayer or individual prayer, but we don't think of corporate prayer. We don't think of the body as a whole gathering together or in unifying in prayer together. We think of it as an individual mandate, an individual practice, but not a corporate practice. And what's interesting, if you were with us last week, we talked about these Peter and John, and they were beginning to be very first time that we read in Scripture in the New Testament, when the early church is beginning to be persecuted. And when they're released from custody, when they're able to go back to kind of life as they kind of know it, they don't go and they don't hide. They don't go and isolate. They go to their community. And in chapter 4, verse 23, they actually go directly to the church. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because for many of us, when we come under spiritual attack, when we come under physical attack, when we come under relational attack, when your marriage is going through an extremely rough patch, when you're struggling in your relationship with your children, or you're struggling in a relationship with a parent, when you find yourself going through a difficult financial season, when you find yourself going through a difficult health season, our tendency at times is, yes, we pray, but then we isolate. We don't tell anybody about it. We don't want anybody to know what's going on. But Peter and John, they leave this season of this time of persecution, and they immediately go to their body, the body of Christ, and they begin to share with them all that's taken place, all the details of the attack that's happening. And when we experience trials, when we experience trials, we need to bring those trials and bring those attacks before the body and begin to pray collectively and as one together. Because when we isolate in our prayer, I've noticed something, maybe your life is different, but I've noticed something interesting that happens. When I'm being attacked and then I isolate, my prayers often sound more like complaints than prayers. Because it's all in my head and it's all my own thoughts. But when I begin to get with the body, they remind me of who God is, and they remind me of God's capabilities, and they remind me of the character and the nature of God. And so the best way to pray is to pray in community. But for whatever reason, as kind of individualized Western culture people, our tendency is to say, no. The best way to pray is just to isolate myself. Nope. The best way to pray is to include others, to intercede for one another, to gather together, to encourage one another, to pray with one another. There's kind of an old saying that says that a marriage that prays together stays together. I would say the same is true for a church. A church that prays together stays together. A church that prays together is able to journey through difficult seasons together. A church that prays together is able to encourage one another when things aren't necessarily going their way. A church that prays together will find themselves unified together. And so in Acts chapter 4, 24 through 31, we begin to read about this type of prayer that this early church was praying. And really, it breaks down into three really nice sections. And if you're somebody who likes a little bit of alliteration or like three P's to like whatever, that's what you're going to get today, because it really breaks down that nicely. And so there's really three sections. There's praise, petition, and power within this prayer. And so if we're asking ourselves as the body, how do we pray together? The early church gives us a description, a framework for understanding how we can pray together. And the very first one from verse 24 through 28 begins with praise. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 24, we read these words. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestors, David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. Now again, this prayer is so theologically rich, and sometimes it's kind of feel like it's weighty to kind of like move through it. But I think as we begin to understand the structure of this prayer, we'll understand what it looks like to unify ourselves and to corporately pray with one another. And the very first thing they begin is, O sovereign Lord. It's a recognition in who God is. And there's this understanding of sovereignty throughout scripture. Sovereignty is about understanding that God is powerful. Sovereignty is understanding that God is free and capable to fulfill his plans and purposes any way he chooses. He's able to move, and so we recognize when we're being attacked, when we feel, whether it's spiritually attacked or physically attacked or relationally attacked or financially attacked, wherever we feel that persecution is coming, we begin with understanding that God, man, you are in charge of all of this. You are sovereign over all things. And by the will of God and by his goodness, God will override the wickedness and evil in this world. In fact, one of the ways that is really important for us to understand sovereignty is not that God is some puppet master in the sky controlling every single thing that we are doing, but God is the only one who can do anything about evil and wickedness and sin and suffering in this world. He's the only one that can take the worst that life has to bring towards us and create something good out of it. He's the only one that can bring beauty from ashes. And so there's really three characteristics that are given here about God's sovereignty. One is he's creator. He's the creator of heavens and the earth. Two, that in his sovereignty, God will speak through his creation. He spoke through his servant David in order to bring about his plans and purposes. And three, he determined. He determined from the beginning to use the course of the cross. He determined to use the cross and resurrection in order to take care of sin and death in this world, in order to bring victory over sin and death in this world. And so these three different characteristics of God's sovereignty, the early church turns into praise for who God is. Three different praises that they offer. And the importance here is that they align their heart with the sovereignty, the character, the nature of who God is. Where is our heart aligned? Where is our heart aligned? And so they align their heart with God as creator. And when they do that, they become confident in the fact that God is control. He made the mountains. He made the grass. He made the animals. I mean, when you feel like things are spinning out of control, here's what I would encourage you, especially if you're watching us, whether online or you're here and you're on the Central Coast, would you just go and would you just take a walk on the beach and would you begin to look around at creation when you are questioning whether or not God is capable of handling all that is happening right now? And would you pick up a seashell down on the beach and would you begin to look at its intricacies and would you begin to look at the sand on the shore? Would you begin to look at the waves and would you begin to look at the hills and would you stay there long enough to see the sunset into the ocean? And in that moment, would you be reminded that the God who created all that can handle anything that comes our way? Amen? And so we have to remind ourselves again, it's important that we fill our, I was thinking about it, man, the same God, I guarantee God's creative enough to create the platypus. He's creative enough to handle my problems, right? Like, I'm thinking about it. I'm going, man, just be reminded. So when you feel attacked and you feel like it's way bigger than that, just go platypus, right? Platypus. Yes, that's exact. I have a God who created the platypus. He can handle this. And so when this early church is praying this prayer, they're reminding themselves of the God that they serve. And so often, because we're hit or miss in terms of saturating ourselves with the character and nature of God and the sovereignty of God, we forget that that is the God that we serve. We forget that that is the God who is capable of being in control even when things feel like it's chaotic. The second area of sovereignty that they bring praise about is revelation. How awesome is it that the God of the universe has conversations with his creation? How awesome is it that the God of the universe orders the steps of us and leads us, as the psalm says, beside quiet waters, right? That he would reveal to his creation. And this passage that we find here is from Psalm chapter, Psalm 2, where it says, "You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David." It's a recognition that the God who created interacts with his creation. Amen? I mean, this is a God who interacts with us. What a privilege it is to hear him. And what's interesting about that passage is it's probably the very first recorded worship song within scripture of the New Testament church. Because this Psalm 2 was normally sung. What a powerful proclamation of worship. It's a reminder that when we worship, we unify our hearts. It's a reminder that when we worship, we declare who God is. I know that there's some people out here, some of you are like, man, I can't even sing, but I love to sing because when I do, I'm reminded of who God is. I mean, we just sang earlier, "I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm," right? We're sitting there going, okay, let's remind ourselves that there's a storm, that it's gonna be difficult, that my praises are gonna have to get a little bit louder so that I can remind myself of the sovereignty of God, of God's care, the fact that he's the only one who can do anything about this particular situation. And even as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said, even if my circumstance doesn't change, I'm still going to place my trust in God because I know the end of the story. And so we're reminded in this particular season that God uses that. And one of the things that is important for us to do during this particular season is what I call rumination, or not what I call, it's a term called rumination. If you've never heard the term rumination, here's what essentially it means. It's the chewing of the cud by a cow. What that means is that cow, in order to get nutrients, I know, very disgusting, but in order to get nutrients out of the grass, the cow will eat that grass, digest that grass, puke that vomit that up, and then eat it again to get even more stuff out of it, right? When it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to our understanding of the character and nature of God, when it comes to singing the Word of God, may we be a people who ruminates on it. May we be a people who actually takes that word in and doesn't just say, okay, I'm done with it for now, but then we process it and we rethink about it, and it's on our minds continuously and ongoing. Because revelation is not always instant. Sometimes we have to sit with the word of God for a while. Sometimes we have to sit with songs for a while before they soak deep into our bones. It's not enough just to read a passage in 30 seconds and go on with our day. Sometimes we have to soak it in to be reminded of who God is. And then they praise God for his sovereignty throughout history. The fact that God was not caught off guard by what was taking place, that he had determined or predestined. I want to remind us that this word determined and predestined, it's not about a timeline. A lot of people think it's about a timeline, God predicting or something of that. It's that God made the decision in God himself before time and eternity that he was going to do anything and everything possible for his creation to be, for him to be the God and for creation to be his people. He determined within himself that the cross could be the answer to sin and rebellion. He didn't need anybody to tell him that. He didn't need anybody to decide. He didn't take a poll. It wasn't a democracy. God within himself had determined that the way to deal with sin and death in this world is through the cross and resurrection. And that he would make his purposes come to pass. And we see this throughout scripture. We see each time that it looks like, man, how is God going to move forward his plans and purposes? We see a God who is sovereign and capable. We see it in the story of David and Goliath. Many times we read that story and we think it's all about David's kind of heroic feat. It has nothing to do with David's heroic feat. It's everything to do with God. In fact, David tells us that. He says, man, just as God saved me or rescued me from the paw of the bear and the lion, God will rescue me. He didn't say, man, just like I did this and I did that, I'm going to defeat. No, he said, just like God rescued me from the paw of the bear and rescued me from the paw of the lion, my God will save me from this Philistine. And so when we feel attacked on every single side, we can say and stand with David, just as God has rescued me in the past, he will rescue me in this season. Just as God has been there for me in the past, he will strengthen me in this particular season. But what I need to remind us is that this prayer is drenched in scripture. And one of the ways that we should be praying in this particular season is praying the scripture, praying the word of God. I want to remind us of something. We cannot pray what we have not put in. And so we must saturate ourselves with scripture and the character and nature of God so that those become the words, the thrust of our prayers. God reveals his character and his nature and who he is and what he's capable of through the Bible. He reveals it most fully through the person of Jesus Christ. We're reminded of who God is and who we are and how God's going about saving this world. And so when we pray, we begin with praise. Reminding ourselves of who God is. The early church moves from praise then to petition. In verses 29 through 30, we read these words. And now, O Lord, hear their great threats, talking about the Sadducees. And give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Threats. They recognize that a battle is going on. They're not oblivious to it. It's not like they're burying their head in the sand. They recognize that a battle is going on. And when you speak, here's what we need to understand. When we begin to live into the kingdom of God, when we begin to live out the good news of Jesus, when we begin to proclaim the good news of Jesus, anytime that begins to take place, you better believe that the enemy and anything that the enemy, all of the powers of hell are going to be thrown at you in order to silence you. And so they're very aware of the battle that they are in. And in Acts chapter 4, it happens to be a battle against a physical group, the Sadducees, who are coming against them, who want to arrest them, who basically at the beginning of chapter 4 through the middle, what we read last week, say, yeah, you can leave. You're free to go, but don't you dare talk about this Jesus who was resurrected. And so in this passage, yes, it's a physical battle. But in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul reminds us that our battle is not always going to be physical, but it's going to be often against not flesh and blood, but spiritual powers. It's going to be against things that we can't see, but we sense and we feel and we know that are real and challenging. Sometimes that battle is going to be against our own inner thoughts. It's one of these things, one of the things that I've noticed within quarantine, that the more we spend time alone and not in community, it's amazing how much louder our inner thoughts become in our lives. How much louder our own voice becomes, how much louder the voice of the enemy becomes when we don't have others reminding us of who God is. And it's even going to be a battle against my own sinful flesh nature. Have you ever had an encounter with God that was so powerful and you walk out, and the moment that you walk out, you are tempted in greater ways than you ever have been before? The enemy knows he wants to take you out. And so this early church cries out in petition and recognizes the battle that they are facing, but they also expect God to move in this particular season. Why do they expect him to move? Because they've seen him move in the past. He says, stretch out your hand. God, your healing powers, signs and wonders. These are things that they have either seen for themselves firsthand or things that they have read about through the stories of their ancestors. And they're reminding themselves. It's like this self-talk, and self-talk can be really good to be able to say, all right, I know the feelings I have. I know the doubts I have. I know what I'm experiencing, but I'm going to remind myself in this particular moment of the God that I serve. And they trust that the same God who has moved in the past will move in the future. And they pray into the sovereignty of God and the fact that God is creator. And they pray in and they remind themselves again of what God is capable of, and that he moves throughout history, and that he is driving things towards making all things new. And they remind themselves that they're not alone, that God is one who reveals and leads them in this process. And so they communicate all of that, and they begin to recognize through their petitions the God they're praying for, that this is a God who his plans and his purposes will not be thwarted. In fact, when all of the evilness and all the evilness and sin of humanity was placed on Jesus, and he was crucified on the cross, and everybody looked at that and said, you know what? Now, see, we figured it out. We figured out how to conquer God. And for 3 days, it looked that way. And then God said, you didn't conquer me. You didn't somehow figure out how to take me out. Death could not even thwart God. Because after 3 days, Jesus was raised from the dead, conquering sin and death, and announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God in this world. And so threats, let's be honest though, threats are real. They feel heavy. Reality is real. Diagnosis, cancer, those are real. Relational challenges are real. They're heavy. They weigh on us. But where is our focus? I think about it during this particular season, not to minimize anything else that people are going through, but I think about during this particular season, and I ask myself, as the church, where has our focus been? Is our focus been so much on masks or no masks? Has our focus been so much, do we get together or not get together? Has our focus been so much on those things that we've forgotten that the early church represents for us, that it's not about being taken out of the circumstance all the time, but it's about how we can be faithful in the midst of the circumstance? Notice what they said. They didn't say, God, would you somehow go take out the Sadducees? They didn't say, God, would you deal with them? No, but he said, God, these threats are real. We're placing our trust in you. And their desire was to be a witness, to be faithful in the midst of the attacks. I wonder what would happen if the church maybe focused in on that particular proclamation. God, Whether it's mass or no mass, whether it's gathering or not gathering, whether it's online or in person, whether it's whatever, I get it. There's challenges all around. But God, in the midst of it all, would you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, empower us to be faithful witnesses of you during this season? Might people see us? Might people see you in us? Might your words be placed in our mouth. May your thoughts be placed in our minds. May your passion be placed in our hearts. God, may we be faithful witnesses during this season. And I'm not minimizing the trouble. But I also recognize that the word says that in this world we will have trouble, but that Jesus has overcome the world. And so we just continue to be faithful witnesses. That's our job. God's going to take care of the rest, whether it's now or one day. All things will be made new. So we just continue to be faithful witnesses to who he is. Faithful witnesses to his grace. Faithful witnesses to his forgiveness. Faithful witnesses to his life, death, and resurrection. Faithful witnesses that the kingdom of heaven is overlapping the kingdom of earth. And that God is present and that he is reigning at the right hand of the Father right now. We are faithful witnesses of the story of God that we have placed our trust in Jesus. And we pray into those things, just as he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But prayer without action is powerless. Let me say that again. Prayer without action is powerless. You're like, hold on a second. What do you mean by that? Well, prayer always has an active waiting to it. There's always an active waiting. And I want to say it like this. We act in the certain areas of our life while waiting to see God move in the uncertain areas of our life. Prayer is not something that we hunker down and we just paralyze ourselves and just say, okay, we're just not going to do anything. No, we know some of the things that we can do. We know that God's called us to be witnesses and to proclaim his good news. So we can keep doing that no matter what. We're waiting on him to move in another particular area. We can be faithful witnesses actively as we are continuing to pray for God to move in even greater ways through a particular circumstance. And so we find ourselves living out the good news of the gospel in the certain areas that he's revealed and then waiting on him to reveal other areas that are uncertain for us. Sometimes we find ourselves putting so much focus on the uncertain areas that we forget our faithfulness. We forget that we are called to be witnesses. We forget that we are called to live out the good news of the gospel. And so this early church, they found themselves praising God. They found themselves bringing petitions before God. And then the power comes. Verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They preached the word of God with boldness. I'm reminded in Hebrews chapter 12 that the author proclaims that things that can't be shaken will remain. Now think about that during this particular season. Things feel very shaken right now, right? Different things that we were used to, the normal things of life. I wonder how many of those things that as things are shaking right now, God's saying, guess what? The things that weren't supposed to be there in the first place, those things are going to get shaken off. But what remains is my kingdom. What remains is the good news. What remains is who I have called you to be as the people of God. I'm also reminded in this passage that peace and power often don't come until we take that step of faith. I mean, think about it throughout Scripture. Power didn't happen. The Red Sea didn't split until Moses moved in faithful obedience before God. The walls of Jericho didn't fall until Joshua moved in faithful obedience towards what God had called him to do. The fires did not ignite the altar until Elijah moved in faithful obedience in what God had called him to do. And so sometimes we find ourselves again hunkering down in prayer and isolating rather than saying, God, I'm going to begin to move in faithful obedience. And as I move in faithful obedience to who you are and who you have called us to be, I am trusting that your peace will come and your power will come and you will empower us to be bold witnesses in this particular season of life. And so it's an action moment. Not a passive moment, an action moment. That we look at our lives and we say, you know what? When it comes to the diagnosis that I'm facing, when it comes to this relational challenge that I'm facing, when it comes to this COVID season, when it comes to all the various things that are feeling like they're coming at us and it's just like one Jenga piece after another being pulled out from my foundation. And all of a sudden I'm asking myself, am I at the tipping point where everything is going to fall? In that particular moment, how do we declare the praises of a sovereign God who understands everything that is going on and is not unaware and not caught off guard? How do we bring petitions towards that type of God? And when we act in faithful obedience to him, how can we trust that he will bring his peace and he will bring his power and he will bring his provision and he will order our steps in his ways? And so whether you're online or whether you're at, you know, whether you're gathered here, I want you to close your eyes for a moment and invite you to act in this particular moment. I want you to turn your hands so that your palms are facing up and you imagine that there's whatever that area. If you're wrestling with just the overwhelmingness of COVID right now, I want you just to place that thought in your hands right now. If you're struggling because you lost your job, I want you to place that. If you're struggling with finances, if you're struggling relationally, man, you guys have been home and all of a sudden there's new relational dynamics with you and your spouse or you and your kids or you and a parent. If you're feeling like you're attacked physically, spiritually, relationally, I want you to place that in your hand right now. And I want you to pray in unity, not only with the early church, but those who would follow Jesus down through the ages and remind yourself of the sovereignty of God. He's the only one who can do anything about the brokenness of that situation, the only one who can do anything about the disease of that situation, the only one who can do anything about the attack physically and spiritually and relationally, emotionally that you are going through, that he is with you in this particular moment. The same God who, when he spoke, created the heavens and the earth and the ocean and the animals that scurry along the ground and the fish that teem in the sea, the one who set everything in motion is the one you're praying to right now about that particular situation. And then I want you to bring, based on that understanding, petitions. God, the one who created, the one who is in control, and the one who sits on the throne, the one who has Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the one who split the Red Seas and crumbled the walls of Jericho. The one when even Jesus was placed in the tomb said, "It's not over yet." Bring your petitions before that God who not only acted in the past, but acts in the present and will continue to act in the future. And then I want you to pray that God would shake anything out of your life that is not of him, and that only the things of him would remain. That his power would come upon you, that you would be a bold and faithful witness. Regardless of whether or not physical healing comes your way, that you would be a bold witness to the kingdom of God and to a coming kingdom where all things will be made new and cancer will not have a place in that kingdom. Would you pray that you would have a bold witness in this particular season? No matter if the job is lost and you go through an incredibly difficult financial hardship, would you pray that you would be a bold and faithful witness during that particular season? Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would meet each of us in our particular moment of need, in our particular moment that we find ourselves in. That God, we would sense your presence in a powerful way. That God, we would be reminded. God, saturate our hearts and our minds with who you are. That you are creator. That you are the one who reveals. That you are the one who has moving salvation history forward, God. and your plans will not be thwarted. You cannot be stopped. You cannot be shaken. And only your kingdom and your will and your purposes will remain when all is said and done. And so we pray in unity with the early church and all those who have gathered online and all those who are gathered here, and say we place our trust in you. May we be a church, a people, a gathering, a movement who knows the power of prayer. And we ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Even if you're at home, I encourage you just to participate. Stand up from your easy chair. It's all right. No big deal. And as you go, may you be a people of prayer. May we be a people of prayer. May we bring praises to God. May we bring our petitions to God. And may we walk in the power of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. Thanks so much for joining.